It's now time for Bayesian Rhythm and Rhyme, as we say good evening to the host, Mr. Sluggy Dan.
Manners, greetings, blessings to everyone. Happy crop over, the season shaping up. The season shaping up extremely nice this morning. All we had, Junior Kaduma Media Launch, and that was good. Big up the Sunshine Snacks sponsoring the Junior Kaduma this year over $100,000, you know, I'm extremely pleased with that. Shout out to the NCF as well, and big ups to the CEO and everyone. You know, I ain't doing my ambassador duties as one of the crop over ambassadors. You see the phones heating up already. And then we had Junior, then I went to Junior Monarch rehearsals after that, shaping it nice. I got some names to look out for. All you know, usually you'd be at work listening in, so you'll hear all the action, and I can be at the same fun as, you know, talking to you over the headset, so we can get a good time just like last year. My brother this year, they got some bashment again, Ollie, from the young kids. You know, last year that was a big controversy. You know, about in the end, all is well that ends well. So shout out to the Junior Monarch. This year you have two competitions, Junior Calypso Monarch and the Junior Soca Monarch. So shout out to them for that. I absolutely love it. You can look and out for the Junior Calypso tanks coming on and give an update on the tanks. Many tanks will be able to give you that before the show is end. We got some time tonight. They give you the dates for what's coming up for crop over. But everyone know where my heart lies, are getting saying so much different requests or in so much different events. But you know, me at my age, no, I only care about the juniors, that's the truth. So they can't go and pretend they're walking up and getting on bad and pretending enjoying it. They love to see people walking up and thing, but for me, like, I only really care about the juniors, though. I know a lot, every time I say that, I really a lot of people just message me. Yeah, you say you my song last night, you say you like it, you know what I mean? But my heart for the juniors only, that's the only place I can really, really put my heart and my soul into. Just being honest, people. I would go to tanks and pick the crop, I would never miss pick the crop. You know, you want to see people like my next guest at pick the crop one this year, she and Nisha was. Two of them is 2 years, they want to see from the stage, and you know. But we can talk about that. But Pick the Crop, it will be at this year for sure. All you know, that's my heart. I like that this year. A lot more juniors come out. You know, last year we had a couple juniors. Sorry, keep calling it juniors, peeps. A couple young ones in the Pick the Crop competition. This year, Ollie, even more entered. And all the songs sound good. All the youngsters on point. You know what I mean? So far, all stars. Open up, and I heard Sammy G and Ahanjia both got encores. First night, opening night, Ahanjia got encore, Sammy G got an encore. You know, then it's two youngsters, and the message positive. Barbados, that we love one for you. You know, I mean, nobody's got a love hate relationship. Sometimes you got to come and crawl with the people real bad in the communities. But wanting love, but when the youngsters come correct, is really showing the support. You know what I mean? And that we want to keep on doing. I don't mind the.
Are we stepping out on Friday the 23rd, right, Slugs?
Yeah.
What's the name of the tent that we're going to again?
Shining Stars?
Shining Stars.
Yeah, Pompey and that thing as well.
Friday the 23rd, really.
I see Ronnie picture. Sorry, he's not Ronnie. He's
the announcer.
Right. I saw the announcer picture in a different tent. I went All Stars looking for the announcer. Tell myself, we see an announcer come from stage. You night gone. I see an announcer. And then I see a poster come up. So, you send me a poster, Sluggy. Look, you know me. Push this event here. I'm going to be staying at this event. You know me. It's a couple of young people that we love about that tent too. Big up to Julie. And then I see the announcer face. So you know me, they got that the conversation need to have. If Ronnie skipped tanks, or if he was kick out the tank, or put out the tank, you know, he fairly bad behaving already. So that's a question I certainly got to ask. All you want to introduce the two guests, he called today talking about love. I want to read out that first bio, then really Dr. Lass. And today, I just warn you, know you get real emotional and thing. You know you, Ollie, just warn you today.
I get emotional?
So, me too. You want to bore me out too?
Oh, no, man. I don't get too emotional.
Oh, you see this phone? Was the phone ringing already?
There was a lady.
Already? She's still there or she gone?
She's gone, but she If she can call back, we can definitely take her call.
We SNA? Who got calls ready? We SNA?
I wait till you.
Well, my guests here got people prompt already. When I got people prompt already,
they don't even know who's on the show yet.
That way, me at the phone. It's ringing already. What we going on here? Listen, I'm warning you. Today, we're talking about love. And we have two ladies with us. You know, one is one of my favorite artists. You know what I mean? One of my favorite vocalists. Absolutely love her music. And it's an absolute privilege to talk to her today. But she's also a gospel artist, you know. And you know, I like to talk to the Christians, especially when it comes to love, because I believe that Jesus' love is the most powerful, right, and the most, and the purest. And that's always the angle is one go from, you know. I don't mind who knock it. Everybody know religion ain't me, but if you got the form is pure, the purest form of love, and people who's exemplify that, showcase that, and put that to the forefront, and people who's live with that, I can only do my duty. You know, so much young people following me daily for whatever reason they don't know, but I accept it. So I think it's important for me to have conversations with persons like these, especially when it comes to love, man, because I feel that we got love wrong. So I wanted to introduce both of them for me, my brother.
All right, so this is the bio you sent me here, and it goes, Sherianne Morn loves God and is a wife and mother of two beautiful kids and has a gifted son. She's a passionate vocalist, moving audiences with her Afro-Caribbean fusions, and she's also a vocal trainer and talented songwriter. She utilizes her talents as the Foundation of Passion Project, a singing and performance development program. Born in Trinidad, at age 11, Sherianne migrated to Barbados, where much of her family has roots, and her experience has spanned many, many years, both on and off the stage. After facing many challenges to find a school for her gifted son, Sherianne's newfound passion is advocating for gifted children to be seen, heard, and accommodated in Barbados.
Love that.
Now the journey begins, connecting the dots for many parents and guardians seeking places and activities for gifted children across the island.
I love that, and that in itself is certainly a conversation we must have. Go ahead, Ollie.
You got
sorry.
Another bio for me, Sluggy?
Yeah, we're looking at you on WhatsApp. But that's certainly a conversation we are going to have for sure. We want to use our next guest.
Okay,
first.
Here we go.
Sorry.
So that's cool, Slugs. Okay, Dawn Marie Holder, PSYD. Dawn Marie Holder is a doctor of psychology and currently serves as the career counseling specialist at the University of West Indies Cave Hill campus, located on the island of Barbados. Dr. Holder joined the UE in 2012 and coordinates employment and career development opportunities for enrolled students. She's able to achieve this through partnerships with regional and local industry partners, including professional associations. Dr. Holder is a registered clinical psychologist and minister at Jerusalem Deliverance Ministries. In these capacities, she provides consultation and training services to children, youth, and parents in partnership with a variety of governmental and non-governmental organizations. You can connect with her on LinkedIn to discuss mental health, career, and student development matters. Over to you, Slugs.
Nice. I love that. We got a special request first. I got a special request. We want to hear a song before we talk. We want to hear a winner. You got a winner? See if you got a winner there. See if you can search and pull it up. We want to hear that first. And big up, Miss Morn. Messages coming in. Big up, Stummy Boy. Triple X on the outside listening in as well. Enough love to you and Ruby at Starting Fish Kids. Thanks for the love. And this song is for everyone tuning in right now on VOB 92.9 FM.
To stand strong and keep my armor on. If I fall, rise the next time. Can't let them keep a good soldier down. See, I rise and take my place. Cause I'm more than a conqueror. I'm gonna finish this race. So call me a winner. Call me a winner. Jehovah done said victory. prize in sight. Never give up on this journey called life. Thankful for why you brought me this far. With your strength I'll keep pushing on and on and higher up. I'm not gonna give up, I'm gonna finish this race. So call me a winner, cause my God, he will fight for me. Call me a winner, Jehovah done said victory. So when you see me again and you give me a hail, call me by my right name. Call me a winner, yeah, that's who I am. I'm not gonna give up, I'm not gonna give in.
Listen, my cause, my God, he will fight for me. All you hear that there, he will fight for me. He call me a winner. So you see me again and you give me a heal. Make sure you all you call me by my right name. Here we're telling you. When you see me again, VOB, when wanna see me again. And when you heal me, call me by my right name. Hey, powerful words, girl. You know it's saying somebody, listen, my God, he'll fight for me. Like battling mine. I ain't stressing with you. I ain't getting no problems with you. You know what I mean, dog? I ain't getting come close to the microphone, dog. We ain't getting no fights, no problems, nor anything. I want you to take away. We ain't speaking from the psychological side at all, not from your training, just as a person. Mm-hmm. What words like that can do for a person? Because for me, see how I might not be a Christian, but them words touch me in a different way. You know what I mean? Dog, I ain't care where you're from. You know what I mean? Like saying things that, you know, like he will, like God will fight for you. Whatever name you want, call him. But just telling yourself, listen, he will fight for me. Because you know something, go through battles, you might not want to admit. Especially me, man. You know, you may foolish. We don't want to admit certain things. Is that the truth? Me too. I just go through it. But then we hear saying like that. For me, it's give me comfort. But what is it important, dog, for us as human beings to hear words like that? No matter it's separate from religion, anything. What is so important? Where is it that?
You know, we want to feel good about ourselves. Good evening, Barbados. Good evening.
Good evening,
everyone.
Ma'am. Yes, please.
And we want to feel good about ourselves, you know? When you hear that you are called a winner.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, it doesn't matter how the day went.
At all.
It doesn't matter what someone says about me. This is, you know, call me by my right name.
Yeah.
Call me by my right name.
And so, then sensible, he brave enough to say. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And sensible, he brave enough to say. And
yes.
He ain't feel it bragging. Mm-hmm. He ain't feel it boasting. Mm-hmm. It feels like you just proclaiming. You know what I mean? That is what I am. But you saying that, it just makes it feel good. Everybody's want to feel good. Everybody's want that trigger. I think we need that. But Sherrianne, good evening, ma'am.
Good evening.
And was there a particular reason why you would write a song like this?
You want the long reason or the short reason?
Long. You got time.
I love to empower people. You know, the way I grew up, it made me want to stand up for people. I want to stand up for myself. Mm-hmm. I don't like to like people to be in situations where they feel bullied or, you know, they feel down. I want to help them, empower them. And if I can write music to... Most of my songs, if you listen, they're written from the first person. Mm-hmm. So it's like, once I sing this song, it could change my mindset. I know the power of music. And sometimes we listen to some stuff that could really keep you a certain way. But when you have the opportunity to really help people to shape their minds in a positive way, I take that, you know, as my duty. I literally almost feel like I'm writing this for a specific person. I think about people when I'm writing my songs. This specific one I wrote for my mom. My mom was in an abusive relationship with my dad. I think we shared a little bit about this on our conversation before. Watching my mom being abused as a child, and
From your dad?
So much, yeah.
And did you write this song from that perspective?
I wrote it from the perspective of watching my mom over the years, having had a nervous breakdown.
A tough place to go in.
Yeah. My mom had a nervous breakdown. When I was probably, 6 years old, scared. Saw her totally forget everything. She didn't remember who she was. And, you know, she had to come back from that stage. Then, this is a fast-forward version. We moved to Barbados. After she got better, she got married, ended up in another abusive relationship. This time, in a new country, we got put out.
Yeah.
Starting all over again, you know, that comes with its own baggage, that comes with its own drama, me going to school, you know, not feeling really safe and secure. You're in a brand new country, you're staying by people who you kind of know, but not really like family. You know, so that comes with its own challenges. But after years, you know, watching my mom put me through school on her own, put me through college on her own, seeing how she sold roti. I carry roti to school to help to sell for my mom. To the point where my school bag used to smell like roti. You know what I mean? She sold bread, she tie-dyed clothes, she did a whole bunch of stuff, you know. And fast forward years later, I always prayed, you know, for my mom to be in a secure relationship and for her to be happy. And then see her, you know, settle down with somebody who really cares for her. And, you know, she's in a different place, you know. So I looked at her journey, you know, and I wanted this song to be for her and somebody like her who has gone through a whole bunch. You know, there are people who got some stories out there. You went through some things and you can look back at your life story and say, listen, it's a pick me up, it's a keep going, it's a, you know, this is why it's so out there, and it's a declaration. It's like, it's bold, as you say. It's like it's not bragging, but some people need this. Some people need.
I could tell.
Because when you see people going through all kind of things and you hear people's story, you know, I want to empower people and through my music. So basically, it was written with my mom in mind and other people who go through tough situations.
Hearing the story, you know, behind the song, how the song was created, I'm sure they can meet. This can meet so many people listening to the song, listening to the song a different way. Because as you were saying that, you know, the song sounds like a different song to me, you know. No, that's being real. You know what I mean? The song got a whole different meaning. The same words, the same lyrics. You understand the same structure, but you know, you gave me the story. It gave me a whole different meaning because I hear the song at different stages in time. You know what I mean?
The enemy wants my mind. So that's like talking about that whole situation.
You know what I mean?
That mental issue.
Yeah.
So yeah, I didn't want to write it in a way that, you know, you speak so specifically mm-hmm. to the situation that other people can't relate
to. But drawing from those experiences.
I wanted to write the song in a way that you can interpret it from any perspective.
Yeah.
Right. So she knowing who she is, me mm-hmm. knowing who I am, yeah. I can relate to it, and those words mean that for me.
Yeah.
But another person can take the song and mean something totally different. So that's why I wanted to give people the opportunity to, you know, not to write it so specific that, you know, mm. it can only relate to people with issues in a specific area.
Mm-hmm.
But I wanted it to be broad so that anybody could really relate to it.
I love that. No, Doc, is everyone can't speak like that, like saying I'm a winner, you know, like that type of speech. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Everyone can't, but why is it important for us to be able to speak that way? You know what I mean? Because you understand me, Sherry, we all can't, but I'm feeling that we all should be able to, but we all can't. You know what I mean? Some people just can't speak like that. They might repeat the words, but they might not mean it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Why is it important, right, for us to speak like that, especially at young ages?
I think one of the things about what was shared when you talked about context, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's like, even if you're not feeling that way at the moment, the idea that you can begin to visualize, because it creates that opportunity. It creates that opportunity now that even through adversity,
mm-hmm.
whatever that adversity is that I am experiencing on a personal level, I can now say, even with all of this, I am a winner. And you can say that to yourself, look at yourself in a mirror, and you begin now to see yourself as well in a different way. So we're also talking mm-hmm. about resilience. We're yeah. talking about hope. So all of these things become possible
mm-hmm.
because of that positive energy, that positive feedback, those positive words that are no, you know, that are no part of your script. It's not just your situation or your circumstance, mm-hmm. but this is another narrative. This is another way that this could go.
I absolutely love that. And who would have thought, Sharon, right, that me, who would have thought, let's listen to this song, you know what I mean? And when you break down what songs mean, that way you begin your sentence by saying music powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went into the story. And then when they ask Dr. X to explain why is it important for us to speak like that, you know, like, all this come from music. So, like, you see, you know, like, that's why it takes a very conscious effort to mind why push. You know what I mean? Like, I know I may enjoy all music. You know, everybody know where it come from. Yeah, but it's just a couple of years, Dr. to myself, you even made a very conscious decision and check where you're pushing because... Mm-hmm. Especially when you explain why it's important to talk like that. So that which means the negative gotta be equally as positive.
Correct.
As powerful, sorry. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's been over in my head. You know what I mean? Like if I sing shoot, yeah. shoot, bang, bang, kill, kill. It's just a song, yeah. But then I don't know the story.
Change your mind.
You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Because mm-hmm. you don't know the story behind the song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because how somebody interpret that song, how they put it over, and the lyrics they use and the words they use may mm-hmm. personal to them, but it can yep. be powerful because it's personal. That's what you get from your conversation, that it can be powerful because it can be personal. So then I in turn can interpret it in a powerful way. So the negative gotta be also equally as true. I know a lot of people might not want to hear that, including me, because got a lot of times they even come on here and defend songs and defend music. You know, it's just music. They got action movies that shoot too. Why not defend it?
Mm-hmm.
But then listening to you explain why it's important for us to speak like that, it means that we can't speak the other way. You know what I mean? Sorry, we shouldn't. Not that we can't. Some people will, but we shouldn't speak the other way. No. In hearing Ollie read out your boy, right, Doc? And see you focusing on words, the word love. We want you to explain to us how you break down this word love, L-O-V-E. But you said L-O-V-E-D.
Mm-hmm.
L-O-V-E-D, Sherry. And I want you to listen to this, because I want you to join this conversation for sure. But L-O-V-E-D, I want you to explain to us how you break it down mm-hmm. and why each is important.
All right, so L-O-V-E-D. We all want to be listened to.
Mm.
We want to be observed. Because when we talk or when we communicate. We're not just doing that with our, with the words that we say. We're doing it with our body language, you know. So we want to be listened to. We want to be observed. We want to be valued, you know. Listen, what is it that I'm seeing? What's the message behind it? So finding value in what I'm seeing. L-O-V-E.
I like that.
You know, and we want, also want to empower. So when Sharia was speaking and she talked about empower, I want to empower people. Mm-hmm. You know, after you've heard someone, after you have been able to observe and see, you know, are they kind of behaving like they would normally? Are their words matching up with what they're saying? Mm-hmm. You know, and you found a value in what they are sharing with you. You know, there comes that opportunity to empower. So whether that is that I have the tools or I know how to get them, how are we going to work through this particular thing together? And from empowerment, we have to do it. We have to do the follow through, right? So we have to take the necessary actions to practice and do it over and over again. Mm. So loved. We want to be loved. We want to be listened to. We want that observation to happen. Pay attention to me beyond what I'm saying. See me. You know, value. You know, there's value in what I'm sharing with you. Mm-hmm. Empower. How can move forward?
They value. They touch upon all. Just letting you know, so you're taking my time.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's me teaching us about love. Lou, you listening? Good. So that, Sherry, that value part. Mm-hmm. As is, especially on you walking your journey, right? Because I've seen friends, right? I've seen friends that was Christians from young, right? With me, the good friends, like I will watch sometimes their requests will not be valued, you know. Especially when you're young and you're stupid, you know. Like, and some boy wrong is a Christian, you know. Certain things the boy may not like, or you could do them for purpose, you know what I mean? Then an evening, a partner of mine, Hubert Williams, he's a police officer now, my good friend. He wasn't even a Christian at the time, Hubert. But Hubert was telling me, you know that if, you know, Sheldon's be frank, like we really said that we dog. At the time we young, you know, we about 14 here. So big up you, Hubert. You know, if we really care about Sheldon, right, we would at least try to not do it. And at the time, he's called you work girly. That didn't you work cruel, fighter. And he didn't girly, just said so he could start saying it. And as they come up, he's saying they used to always, pick at me that part about being valued. And then when it happened to me, it feels so awful. Like, if you were a partner or a friend or a family member or somebody you care about, you know, it could be simply platonic, but you feel like your body ain't really valuing what you say or valuing what you do. Like, Sherry, what you feel as eat at our hearts, so cruel. Because not being valued is such a see how you see wanting poor people? That's not everybody mindset. Some people just want to take away our power. Like, yeah. Why does it eat at, what do you think it eat at our hearts?
Being
so
valued.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think being valued, that ties into you as a person and what you have to offer to the world. So if you feel like you don't have much value, then what is the use of me and what is the use of the things that I feel are important? I think it has a domino effect negatively if you feel like you're not of much value. Mm-hmm. I think same way how words and thoughts affect us, it will have a domino effect. It's gonna start to eat away, as you say, eat away. Gonna start now from just the thought of, well, that person didn't care about me. Then it turns into a belief system. Nobody don't care about me.
Yeah.
So then now you're going to receive everybody through those words.
That was me feeling a lot younger. And that's the feeling that I don't like feeling. But
that's why I don't like to talk to people. No, it comes to that now. And it keep growing. You know, so now even though you go and you interact with, like, you go to a store,
yeah,
you know what I mean, and you tell, and that as soon you in the line,
I know you can see it.
And as soon as it's your turn, they had to change cash registers, so they got to change it. It's like, wait, you see what I'm telling you now?
Yeah.
So everything now is going to be seen through those lens, mm-hmm. that lens, that belief system you now have, that you develop in yourself. Mm-hmm. Nobody don't care about me. It's me. So you go around now thinking you're the problem. And that then affects every single thing that you have to offer in life. So I think, we can go on about all the negative effects. And I think it if a person has no value or feel like they have no value, I watch it with my people who I train vocally. Mm-hmm. They have a beautiful voice, mm-hmm. but they lack self-esteem, right? So now, as much as you try to get that person to open up, you now got to go and undo mm-hmm. a whole bunch of mental beliefs, right? Because somebody told them something everything. When they were small, not you, or something that changed your belief system.
So they don't even know it affected them. So the way correct. They see themselves, you know, the way they think others value what they say or what they do mm-hmm. or what they have to offer. Might be totally skewed, which ain't the truth. Mm.
No, and that's powerful, Sherry. So, that way, how do I make sure that I show people that I value them without coming off too queasy, you know, too freaky. You know what I mean? How do I ensure that? Is it my body language? Is it the way I say it? Is it my observation skills gonna be better? How do I show persons around me that I value them more? Hmm. Without having money came and my niece that locked on messaging me, without getting the money or gifts, you know what I mean? How do you show people that you truly value them? And make sure you're cognizant. Because you know we could go through life, Sherry, we could go through a whole year real busy, especially now, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? For me, like super busy, and then it like, might not have got 5 seconds or so you might think. So how do we ensure that it's sure people cause? I like solutions, you get me? I like solutions. So help Sluggy. How do I show persons around me that I truly value them?
So one of the first things I want to say is that, so in the context of someone talking to you, you said your niece is messaging and she's asking you for something, right? Are you going to now switch up the conversation and say, well, let's say she just asked you, so on the way home, can you pick me up something to eat? Are you gonna say, well, this song here sound real good. This song that mm-hmm. we just heard sound real good. Like, what I got to do with what the person just said to you, right? So one of the things sometimes in helping people to know that you value them is that you don't switch up the conversation on them sometimes, or you don't try to. The person tell you, well, you know what, I ain't feeling that great today, you know, or I'm not a good singer, you know. The thing is that they may have a beautiful voice, but we have to sometimes start with people where they are at. So how do we help them to begin to know that they feel heard? I don't have a, you don't have, feel like you have a good voice? What is that about? You know, tell me what you think is wrong with your voice. Because sometimes we have to challenge those beliefs. But before they can hear, as you're already saying, that they have a beautiful voice, that they have a wonderful voice, how do we validate that mm-hmm. emotion that they would have just shared with you? So a part of that value system is just helping people to feel heard, not minimizing their experience or their feeling, you know, and just letting them say, okay, this is how you feel. Help me to understand that. But then, you know, whether it's through the powerful words that we use, or whether we begin to say, okay, well, so how many other persons have told you that, let's say? And maybe they might say, the truth is that, you know, people tend to tell me that I have a beautiful voice.
Yeah.
So then you also are helping them to see that, okay, well, while you think this way, the evidence is really not backing that up, you know? Mm-hmm. The number of people, the type of feedback you get, even when you sing, how people respond to it, it doesn't really match up. So you're also helping them to see that this is not really, you know, there's another perspective to this, another way that you could look at it as we try to change that view. that the person might have of themselves. So that's one of the ways.
We absolutely love that, and thank you so much. All of you want to hear some more music soon, just letting you know. And observation, right? When you touch on observation, that is so important here, mm-hmm. especially when you're trying to show, especially when you're trying to show your children love, or you're trying to show your partner love. Because if your observation skills ain't really up to par, you know, so much things you can miss about a person mm-hmm. that you claim you love, just by not observing correctly. So when we come back, we can touch on that. Ali could pull up something for me. Go look at DJ.
Got some
today.
Songs here for you to choose from.
Some
Good to Me. One
Good to Me.
One Family.
Good to Me.
Born to Work.
Pick one, Sherry. Pick one for me.
What you like? What kind of genre? Good to Me is dancehall. Soca. No Dilemma. Soca.
Good. We go No Dilemma. Nice, love this one. Nisha, who produced this one? Sorry, we call you Nisha? Nisha, big at you. Probably mine.
Hi, Nisha.
Yeah, big at you. Sherrianne, who? What do you call you, Nisha?
I don't know.
Well, we call you Soka.
Okay.
Right. Who produced this one?
Darian Bailey.
Darian. You get Darian to do some gospel?
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, bless his
he
soul.
He did actually. He did my first four songs, I think.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Yeah. I like it. The music song, who did the backups?
Me.
Oh?
Yeah.
Shh. All the harmonies down there? Mm-hmm. Goose, girl, you're bad. You're bad. I love it. I love it. I like it. You got plans anytime to put your gospel more in crop over?
You won't believe my husband Chris asked me that today.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
For me, I'm open to it.
Okay.
But I'm so consumed right now trying to facilitate my son.
Oh. How old your son is?
He's 4.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he's gifted.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been a challenge trying to find a school for him. So gifted in the sense where on the spectrum he's highly mm-hmm. gifted. So he's not on the left side of the spectrum, mm-hmm. he's on the right side of the spectrum. And he's probably about 4 to 5 years advanced cognitively. Emotionally, he's still his age. So there's something called asynchronic development, mm-hmm. which I get to find out all these things because, you know, I'm really, really trying. You know, not to limit him.
Mm-hmm.
That's my belief. I like people to go and push
mm-hmm.
and be who he could be. And I think it's my duty to really try to find something that facilitates him. So right now he's part-time
mm-hmm.
at a school and part-time homeschooled. And
oh, nice.
I'm gonna have to get him one-on-ones. He loves one-on-ones. That's how he learns.
Mm-hmm.
For right now, he goes to school and I literally have to send the work to school for him. I send his school work. So he's not being really challenged. He's just doing work. He's doing what? Answering stuff and just doing stuff. But the way in which he learns is through research. Boy, he pick up the remote and search for what he wants.
That or, you and you should say right. I know if it's a problem in Caribbean, but you know, like that's a huge problem in Barbados. You know that, and you know, a lot. I'm telling you, and you know a lot of gifted children is end up on the wrong side. You know,
they
like,
do.
And everyone said because it'd be like it'd be so boring. I know a friend that went school is extremely boring. I know a man that could have had me forget how to find Omar Smith. Like sharing primary school with me. I think Omar is so bright and hard there. I think Omar Smith Braffett. He was so bright but hard there. So he could have got everything right if he wanted to.
But you see that last word he used, right? That is like a behavioral problem that is associated with the fact that they are not getting what they need.
No, that all it was. That's all it was.
You know? So it's like they will get up to mischief. My son, if you leave him unoccupied, he will get up to the most mischief.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So it's like, but like, for instance, we had taken him to vacation a time. We're like, he should be good. You know, he at the clubhouse.
Mm-hmm.
He running around. But you see that mental stimulation, he was not getting it. Thankfully, I had worksheets.
Mm-hmm.
Gave him worksheets. And you know, he quietly did it and went straight in his bed. Mm-hmm. I couldn't believe it. So then is when I realized, this son, okay, so mentally he needs to get that challenge.
What would you?
Yes, please.
What would you suggest? What would you suggest for children that are extremely gifted? How would you suggest we deal with them?
Well, I think one of the things when you talk about that observation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Each child is very different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things, a lot of the work that has been done and the progress that has been made have been by parents who've taken the time to get to know this unique person who sometimes others may not take the time to get to know. So there are some teachers who also, you know, made these observations and they try to do their part, but it's difficult to
mm-hmm.
one person to all of the you know, all the different little ones or older ones they may have in the class. So I think the ministry, in terms of the reform that they're going through, they're talking about it.
Really?
Yes,
they are talking about spaces for, you know, different.
Cause we have to do it, Sherry. We can't continue next 10 years providing the space for children that are really gifted. I had a friend named Dean Bascom. Everybody might know Dean Bascom. He's played it. Bascom from a child was so good, could hear any note, just tell what note it is. Well, just so
that's why my son has perfect pitch.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like Bascom and children like with that, like, man, he had music, he really good, but he could bend, but he had perfect pitch. And he technically sound, he could have played anything. from a child, hear how I learn it. Mm-hmm. All I know that Obaskam is still in the mind, could play any instrument, don't go and learn it. Just take it up and play it. You know what I mean? But obviously that's country system. We learn good, man. A lot of schools in police band, you know, did that extremely well, but still nowhere near like what he really capable of, boy. Like, you know what I mean?
Doing.
Go ahead, dog. Sorry.
And those are important things, right? So allowing mm-hmm. people to operate in their areas of gifting.
That.
So, and that is even something that is new, because even this program, right?
Mm-hmm.
We are, you know, it's a space for creatives, and before it's being creative, singing, entertainment, you know, this is something that you did as a hobby. This was not going to be your mainstay. This is not what was going to take you somewhere in life. So the thing is that, you know, we still have a ways to go,
mm-hmm.
but we're doing a little better than we have been before.
For sure.
We're having the conversations.
Yeah.
We're trying to make people more aware.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting too, because sometimes in this whole spirit of observation, sometimes we think we're going through something by ourselves. Sometimes we think that we're the only person who is impacted by this. And I, you know, so while there is this ability to learn that is beyond what
mm-hmm.
his age is where he should be, you know, we still have to provide that social development, right?
Yeah.
That social interaction. So also to remember that a person, whether it's a little person or older person, you know, they're developing in a number of ways.
Yeah.
So physically,
mm.
you know, in terms of their social development, in terms mm. of their academic development, and emotional as well. Yeah, you know, so if we understand that a person is developing in all these ways, then we also have to consider, well, how am I going to meet these needs, right? So I might be 4 and behaving like a 4-year-old, right? As a 4-year-old should.
Yeah.
But maybe could I, you know, sit in a class that is a little bit more advanced. You know, just last week, I remember reading an article of, I think it was probably an 11 or 14-year-old who was graduating from university.
Mm.
And the parents were sharing about how that was, you know, because you're sending your young child who's still emotionally a 14-year-old, but into a university environment where they're doing all of these, you know, there's drinking, there are all of these things that are happening
mm-hmm.
around them. So it requires creativity.
Yes.
But it also, you know, there is a value in community, because parents have gone through this and they have had some strategies that they have used. Mm-hmm. And then, interestingly enough, there are even some teachers who would take a child separately and do the work. So there are a number of ways that we can tackle it. But one of the spaces that we are trying to do that is to make sure that even from a government perspective, to make sure that even if a person can't afford it, how can they still get help?
Correct.
Yeah?
Because
and that's really where it comes in.
Right now, we are working with a specialist, a gifted teacher.
Mm-hmm.
She's a specialist in the U.S. and she's right now assessing him.
Mm-hmm.
So she sent down the assessments and we are giving it to him so she can do a curriculum.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then he will have that with the tutor, because I really don't want him to not get what he needs to have mentally.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's getting what he needs socially and everything, but the other part, he would get up to some mischief, you know.
Yes.
He would start to mix all kind of different mm-hmm. things in the house.
And how do you then facilitate that? Because
he's
going to experiment. So how do you provide that guidance?
Well, mm-hmm. I really try. The creative, thankfully I have a little creative bone in me
mm-hmm.
that kind of allows for this. And due to the vocal training and how I want to see people, you know, go to their, what naturally comes for them, I kind of am very accommodating.
Mm-hmm.
So before school, this yesterday, he asked me, Mommy, I said, Jacob, you need to do your morning routine. I just need 2 cups. Mm-hmm. I just need 2 cups. I was like, okay.
2 cups?
I gave him 2 cups, the 2 plastic cups. He went, he thought, could you please give me some water in these cups? I said, Jacob, I can't do it. Yes, you can, Mommy. Just please.
Mm-hmm.
I gave him the cups. He put the water. Went for coloring. Put coloring in it. Took paper towels. And now he would do it to see capillary action between the 2 things.
At 4 years old?
At 4 years. Yeah, that's what he's doing. He's doing geometry.
Mm-hmm.
He's doing, he's doing geometry. And he did the geometry test. Here it is now. The geometry test says on the front, give the children a break after five questions.
Mm-hmm.
He sat down and did the thing in 4 minutes straight, happily. And that was for like 8 years, an 8 year old child. So that's really what I'm dealing with. And so he had already known it, you know, so it was.
So then there's that flexibility, mm-hmm. right? We have to, so while most people fit into a particular range,
mm-hmm.
you know, we have to then understand that there are rules, right? That are a little different for those who are to the left, the far left, as you
mm-hmm.
or to the far right, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Because obviously they're going to need a little more time, or mm-hmm. in your example, less time,
mm-hmm.
you know? So it is a very interesting thing when you are in it.
Yes.
And to be patient too, right? Because it's like, this is not why I anticipate
patience.
Somebody for a year old,
right?
So, but doing that observation and also being able to ride along, because it's like, it's time to get to school, but if I facilitate this experiment,
correct.
I am providing an avenue for them to meet their own needs,
yes.
and then meeting the class needs, that,
yes.
that learning or social need that you want them to meet as well. So that give and take, which is hard, right? Because some parents are like, hello,
yeah.
I set the rules here, right? I
yeah.
set the boundaries here. And this is not why it's happening. But
yeah.
when there's that negotiation that's taking place.
Correct.
Mm-hmm.
He needed to do it.
Yeah,
correct.
Like, you know, pan ear, all you know, you spoke about this already, and we spoke about this with people like Corey and definitely people on here. Oh, coming along, we literally all know them got the chill stars. Like, you want to tell me all the Barbados, like, we brag that how talented Bajans are. People is calling for here and say, people be putting 95.3 saying it, 104 saying it, how talented Bajans are. So then they'll ask, like, you want to tell me, like, when they see us or every day, Ollie, you understand? And we ain't got one chill star. There's not one chill in Barbados that good enough to be a star. None. Like, every other else in the world, like, you will see, like, 4 year olds playing piano real good. You will see 11 year olds in college. You know me, like, 11 year old be at university, it was like we UE, right? But in Barbados, they ain't got none of that at all. Like, there's no way, ma'am, right? Sorry, call you ma'am. There's no way, dog, right? That for me, that ain't possible.
Yeah.
And many people is trying to be on it, but I know I stand by that, even if I get killed for saying so. There's no way that we in Barbados, Ollie, and there's not one chill that amazing. How that could be, like, you see everywhere else in the world, you would see a child 4 years old juggling 17 balls in the air. Are you serious? Like, you can look anywhere. Like, you've got, how the term child prodigy come about?
Yeah.
The child prodigy is not a real word.
Yeah.
So there's none in Barbados? There is, but just that. What you choose to do for your child, other persons might not got a temperament, or they might not know what to do, or
they
might
not
know where to turn.
What to do, correct. Or what to look for. Correct. That's the thing, and
you got children in bars that are amazing, man.
I'm taking it up. What am I gonna do? My child has to be accommodated, so I mean, it shows me that there isn't the accommodation. So what am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
Something has to be done, right?
Yeah.
I right now seeking out to find a specialist who can do an online workshop or something like that.
You know, we used to do what we in school, but when you hear your doctor say, well, there's many different things and how do you deal with different things, like you might be at this stage academically, but then emotionally you might be at this stage, or socially might be at this stage.
Yeah.
You know what they used to do with me, and it's probably still do now? Like, if you at school and you're like class one, but you're a rare break, they'll put you in class two.
Yeah,
you know, we never get to do a girl, Aisha, and then, man, just coming to class with me, right? And she's still breaking, you see? So, like, in class, they challenge you later. She's supposed to be in class one, coming class two will be Ollie, and she get all the work right, you see? So, it wasn't challenging because, like, she'd already work out math and English in she brain.
Mm-hmm.
So, she know, well, if she do this in math, she know, don't matter how you step up, the same principles apply.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? And she had that picked down blue in primary school. So she know, well, all of my math for my primary school is going to be the same thing. Going to be the same principle, division, going to be divide everything the same way, no matter how long you take. So she work it out. She did great in math and English.
And honestly.
So a point ship in the class, right, dog, ain't do nothing for her.
Wow. right now.
So that way, when you speak right and you talk about different things, it can't be just one thing. You gotta look at the whole thing at the church and then see how the program could fit to all these different needs. Mm-hmm. That's why, again, reform a chance. That way, so a patient for you. Just and you did it simple. You don't take your time. You don't write out anything. You don't work or anything. You just explain it simple for us. So you can only imagine of it for many different children and a whole complete system. It gotta be extremely complex. If you get me, like go ahead, Sherry.
I was saying right now, I've met so many people who say that their children are doing exceptional stuff. I don't know what is happening in this specific time, but I'm coming across a lot of people are like, my child is just doing this stuff. They're doing stuff early, reading early. They're doing a lot of stuff early. So I think it's definitely an indication that something is happening and something has to be done.
No, for sure. And the more you have these conversations and the more we seek to get help, you'll know what to look for. You might go a child who want that real gifted, but might not be learning well. But your child may be able at 3 years old to build a car, you know what I mean? Build a whole robot or do a whole electrical system, you know what I mean? No children that was young. No thinking about right. And it's here all this all the time, all children are, you know what I mean, just gonna know what to look for. You know they're saying, you always say all like all children are amazing. And that's saying always tell me he believes so. So you know me hearing my brother all he says all the time, you know, thinking about maybe the small bro. Like I had youngsters be 8 years old, 9 years old. I could have do so many different things already. How many could have changed the fire carburetors? At 8 years old, bro, like that ain't a normal thing, you know what I mean? Like at 8 years old, you're doing things that men is making a living off of. People is pay mortgages, feed the family, take care of the children for doing things that you're doing at 8. You get me? So that can, but just that we probably didn't know at the time. Knowledge is key here. And knowing what to look for is important. Go ahead, bro. Take your time.
First, I guess since I'm not talking, I'm introduce myself. Hello, Barbados. I'm Louis Bajan.
Yes, my boy.
Yeah, I was in the studio, I was listening, and I just had to inject because the whole gifted child, I would have come in that category of gifted child from young, but I wouldn't have noticed it. For example, biggest thing is from time it was maybe like 8 or something, so I could do math equations in my head. Mm-hmm. Now it's like, when at school you say work, do the work on the paper, but it's like I see the question, I know the answer, but I don't know how to do the work in. But then I had to learn to do that. But it's like, even though and I don't really like think with maths as I used to before, I still able to do the calculations off my head and stuff like that. And then I coasted through the entirety of school without, I didn't used to do homework. I didn't used to put no effort in it. And I coasted through, I had average grades. But if I was to put effort in, I could be at the top. And what I did, which I found my own avenue, essentially. It wasn't accommodated to me. And for me, I took how I classified, I had a little higher processing speed, like my brain just moved a little faster. And I took that, and with my obsession with fame, I sit down and I learn everything about it. I just examine out, and I have a deep understanding of fame, even to a point that I can't explain how, but I know it. And it also, because with fame, is also the study of people, because I noticed, you got these famous people, and when somebody see famous people, they get on a certain way. And it's like, I didn't understand why, which I learned eventually with psychology. So because of my obsession with fame, my obsession into psychology, because of the studying people, why fame got people to move like this. I have a deep understanding of people to the point that I can ask somebody a question. They don't answer the question, but by the look on their face, I can get the answer from the question. And I cannot tell you how I know that. I can't tell you how I do that. It's just because I took my giftedness and I placed it in this one avenue since the time I was 13, which is 22, turning 23 in August. It's been 10 years now. I have a deep-seated understanding of fame.
So I got a question for you. At school, right? Man, you made me so much two youngsters, particularly from Jackson, right? Like, they used to see everything so deep, right? And I used to thought that it was deep. You know, everybody's and people's think that they deep, no. But these two men, like, every single thing. If we say we can play football, right? These men got to know who met football. Really, being serious, where the first football come from. These might be a little, they're a little bit, where the first football come from. Yeah. But the teachers used to scoff it, dog.
Being
real, right? You got.
I got a term for it. I call it fatal curiosity. Just that need to know.
Yes, be like everything. That had to make so. But here we're getting all right. Noah is a big man. everyone turning their children like that. Mm-hmm. But seeing with the younger, mm-hmm. Ollie, teachers used to chase the main boy. Stop that. Galonga. If you tell the main boy back, the man won't know who met the best mm-hmm. bats. Who was the best boy that ever bat, but they might not be popular. They might never play international, they just enjoy domestic cricket. Yeah, who was the best at?
That is definitely a
okay. You, but yes, that listen, you see, he, that is he, thank you, bro. That is him to a T. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? But we used to scoff it. What do you think, right, dog? What do you think we used to chase people like that? Is it simply fear?
Well, two things I want to say, time and place, right? Because we have something to do at a
particular yes, please.
Time, and this is how long it's supposed to take, and that extra detail is going to take us past what mm-hmm. we need to talk about. But not only that, before, the teacher was seen as the expert in the room, right?
Yeah.
The teacher was the person supposed to have all that fund of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the beautiful things about the space that we are in now is that we recognize that the teacher is only one source of what? The information.
I like that.
That we can acquire, right? Because we can go to the internet.
Yeah,
we
can talk excuse to
people.
No.
And as you said, you know, the way my brain is looking at this, the way my brain is processing this information,
mm-hmm.
I'm already down the road. And so while you want me to still be at, well, you know, these are the number of cricketers that make up a cricket team, I am already gone to, well, who were the cricketers of the West Indies team from 1980 to 1985 or whatever. And I am tracking and I'm doing that because I have that curiosity. And one of the things that I like about what you said is that, you know, I noticed this thing about me, but then I had to focus it. I channeled it in a particular direction.
Mm-hmm.
So we may have the ability to do a number of things and to do a number of things well. But do I want to do all of these things, you know? And you may, but, you know, do you want to do all of these things well? And that's sometimes one of the things too that we have to help persons, because you can do a lot of things. You can do a lot of things, but...
If I could add to that, mm-hmm. Since I was basically had to do this my own understanding, I had mm-hmm. to basically find my own systems.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. the way you said that, I had to learn. If I can do anything I put my mind to, definitely. But I cannot do everything I want to.
I believe in that. You can do anything you
say put that your again.
Mind to. I can do anything I put my mind to, but I cannot do everything I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
Mm, yeah, for sure. Bigger Corey. So mention Corey. Good evening, Oliver, Sluggy, Sherrianne, yeah. Dr. Dawn Marie. I am really enjoying this particular program. Everyone have a great night. Thank you. Thank you, my brother. The main like talking about love and understanding love, you know what I mean? And understanding how love works. I love it. I got the love doctor on the inside. Two love doctors.
Speaking of love, Sluggy, it's 24 minutes before 8.
That's love.
But there is no smooth sailing tonight, so I'm gonna give you an extra 15 minutes to enjoy.
50?
15.
Oh, don't give me 50, yeah. You know what I mean? Like talking about love, yeah. it being said, but to me, right, to me, like, yes, persons like Lou and Swamp, persons would have learned to cope on their own, you know, find coping mechanisms. But I want you all out there in Vilby to listen, to really listen. And I'm glad that when the messaging mean people tune in. Parents got to be observant of these things, and if you are the parent don't know what to do,
mm-hmm.
you're gonna know who to turn to that could help you. I feel pleased that a lot of people that like that turn out really well, but let me just tell you, it could have been 10 times better and you could have facilitated so much more if we A, know what to do, or B, know who to turn to mm-hmm. to get the help for our child. Call a challenge, shouldn't be going through them things by themselves, because you might be gifted in one area, but like your doc said, social skills might not be at the par. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's saying they fine with Lou. I could tell that his social skills much different now. You know, you could tell that coming around me from BHC the world, you know, it was his mentor, and for him, he just stick around me still. You know what I mean? You could tell his social skills far different than how he was. Because he's a man that used to like want to contest, right, dog? Like, all know still, and he would walk from the airport to UE
mm-hmm.
for nothing. Mm-hmm. Well, can't, sorry. Like, now you're right. Not, it can't be for nothing. But that's showing how he brings his process things. You know what I mean? Just and it won't do me nothing either. You know what I mean? It won't do me nothing either. That's he. For his personal reasons. This is a man that, like, I'm so glad I got you on the show. And you never know who coming today. You know what I mean? Just, but when like, you tell but when you tell me you come in, it feels so good because here this here, dog. He wanted to understand about vagrants and so on. And he went and become a vagrant to understand it. Mm-hmm. Is it how old you say you are?
It's 22.
You'll be 23 soon.
August 13th.
Well, he be 23. And like, explain what you did. You okay. Call it voluntary vagrancy? We explain it. Take your time.
It's a long story, so I can give you all the TLDR.
Yes.
Shortest version possible, but yes. I can talk about this for hours. So, October 12th, I walked from the airport to UWE, which was at the time, it was for a petition for Barbados to join the YouTube Partner Program because I wanted to become a YouTuber, but you can't be paid here in Barbados. So, like, if you want to do something full time and you can't put food on your table, you can't do it. So
yeah, many things. Yeah.
So that is what I had to do. And then at the end of the month, it's like, I had then start the YouTube channel because my mindset was I can get this petition. The petition allows to get me paid, then I'll be able to start. But then after doing all that, the question of was your YouTube channel keep hitting me as like, I needed to do something about it. But because the person I am, I need some kind of pressure to move me forward. I decided I was going to become a voluntary vagrant, which I start my YouTube channel and make content around that. So it's like, because I was so focused on, oh, they got to do this big video, I tell myself, I want to make content every day. I was going to do 30 days, only make 7, but it was able to allow me to start the YouTube channel. Fast forward.
You only made 7 what?
I mean, 7 days. I was going to do it for 30 days, but I only made 7
You can do it for 30 days?
Voluntary vagrancy.
What?
I try not to go too far into it because there's a lot, but...
Boy.
Okay. I... All right. I don't know how to answer that question without going on a 20-minute tangent. Mm-hmm. But I had this issue of... At the time, I kind of watched myself back on camera. And I always had this idea of, you know, I wanted to do the perfect video. The perfect video. But when you got those two things working against you and you've been wanting to start YouTube for years, but you got to start it, you need to shift. You need to do something so that don't be a situation. So by doing voluntary vagrancy, I said I was going to post a video every day. My only mode is transportation. Will have been walking and it will have no fixed place of abode. Like I did St. Thomas, St. Michael, down Christchurch, back to St. Michael, all on my feet. I used to literally walk on the nighttime because I had my backpack. I didn't want those big massive bikes and that's all the stuff that I own.
You live on the roof for 7 days?
I slept on benches, I slept on the ground at gazebos. I used to use public bathrooms to bathe and wash my face, stuff like that, using the Wi-Fi. Like I fully was living on the street. I used to tell people about YouTube channel. And the thing that I noticed about, one of the biggest things I learned is that there's a lot of good in the world because when I used to tell people what I was doing, I didn't even have to ask them for something to eat. They used to ask me when last I eat, I would tell them to either give me something to eat or they give me money to buy something. Mm. Yeah. So that was...
And that helped show you that there's still good in the world?
It's not still good in the world, that the world is full with good. Mm-hmm. But society, the way that society is, there's a lot of reasons to highlight the negative.
Right, but you won't believe that there's so much good in the world.
There's a lot of good in the world.
So you feel that journey helped you with that?
That journey 100% helped because eventually it led to the world.
Right, yeah. Oh, it's true. When you settled on that, you didn't know that way would have happened.
When I decided to walk from the airport to UAE, I could not imagine where it would lead me to being on Beige the World and ever reach showing. And it's like, on Beige the World, I was a spoken word artist, but before Beige the World, I never did spoken word. I never finished a piece. Mm-hmm. And how I even found it, so I'm the caretaker of the land at Revival Time Assembly, Maxwell. Mm-hmm. And the day I cut a tree from my mother's yard that was going out there to plant. And while carrying that tree, I saw the poster for Beige the World. It was happening the same day. It was so at the time I wrote 5 times the poster. I said about 5. I went, put down the tree, asked the question. I was still in time, you know, Beige and standing in time. Mm-hmm. Late.
Yeah.
So I went home, bathed, because I live in Silver Hill, right by the community center. I went home, bathed, come. And when I saw the poster, it wasn't a question of if, it was what am I doing. I went in there with one line. the first line, and it just spoke straight from the heart, impressed the judges. It was John King give me a standing ovation. All to the semifinals. Mm-hmm. And then now,
after that journey,
after Beisha Road, then I've been doing a lot of plan because I've been, I say, obsessed with theme for the last decade. And since October, I took the information I learned.
I never tell you this, either in person or here, but you know that you hear when you say that? Like, and you know that there ain't much things I hear.
What's that?
That I obsessed with film. Like, being real, like everything, like, I never have, the reason why I never speak about it, right? That's boring me blood.
I understand.
Why? Like, it'd be like, I ain't talking to you no whole on. Doc. Like, you hear a youngster like this, so compulsive to text such a daring journey, but Sanga come out to it. Other young persons listening to him that might want to try the similar journey, what would you advise to them? Because these are things that I advise anybody. Mm-hmm. But he do it. That's how we know he, that's what he get from radio anytime he want to with me. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That's how he get beer to the world. Mm-hmm. He never do a piece and he like, he was never ever a poet. Mm-hmm. Just like he went on there, then they know what to do with he, so they call he a poet. He didn't have the heart to tell them I'm not a poet. So mm-hmm. he just went along with it. Well, what then do mm-hmm. he to challenge himself? He ain't stop them ever and holler, I'm not a poet. Mm-hmm. I'm not a spoken word artist. He let him put he on TV and call he a spoken word artist, although he know he never was a spoken word artist. He never do a piece in his life. He just tacked out. Like, you know what I mean? Shit, he just take it on.
But could it be that it's not so much that he was not a spoken word artist, but he had never been given the opportunity
to express himself? See, that we use the dot and it's sluggy.
So, like, there actually is a theorist that I like a lot called Eric Erickson. And one of the things he said is that sometimes, like, you might have the potential to be, like, world renowned, like Venus or Serena, but if no one ever put a tennis racket in your hand, how would you know? So he was given an opportunity. I'm not saying that, you know, everyone would mm-hmm. do it, or everyone who tried it, that may be their experience.
Yeah, yeah.
But he went there with one lane and look at what he was able to do.
Yeah, you know.
So the thing is once you give someone the opportunity, it is amazing then to see what they can do with that opportunity. Mm-hmm. So we, you know, and I think when, as you talk about giftedness opportunity and all of these different things,
yes.
Sometimes we like to put, we need to give people a ceiling. We like to give people a ceiling and say, like, this is as far as you can go. Mm-hmm. You can go here and you can't go any further. But, you know, if you don't see that ceiling, anything is possible, you know? So we also have to consider things like safety and all of those things. You know, everything that lines up for one person may not line up the same way. Mm. You know, so, like, you know, as you were saying about looking at famous people, even when you look at famous people, there may be some things about them that are similar, but there may be some things about them that are going to be different too. They don't line up identical. So my path to success, or my path to quote unquote fame, may not be yours.
And then looking at famous people, you don't know them, like people, like, the more, right, you want to know how what make me eat, bore my blood even more, but you saying that, like, people don't know me, bro, mm-hmm. at all, and this and right, and the whole of them, I can't see whole of them, I'm not making feel like Michael Jackson on there, but you will see it, like, if it walk outside, you know what I mean, everywhere, good, not people can
people
show me all the time.
You, people don't
yeah,
know you.
Like, but I mean, but no, but here I tell you, at all. Like, who they think I am, how they think I am, how they think I get on. Like, people don't know me at all. But if you hear, people will tell me things about me. People will tell me, I mean, by either because you don't get that, knock on wood, thank you, Ja. And these years, this 5 year trial, no, you don't get that at all. It'd be good things too. But it'd be dead listening, Sherry and Doc, and be like, shh, these people don't know Sluggy Boy. You know what I mean? Like watch it, Lou, right? Mm-hmm. The person that Randy know, the person that Brad and Randy Eastman know, when they don't know at all, although it might be the same body, it might look the same way, sound the same way, but, like, shh, and it's hard to explain because you don't pretend on radio either. Mm-hmm. It's just that on radio it's different. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
When it's like
you,
different
yeah, and then when they see you in person, you happy to meet Sluggy.
Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So that's still in me. You get me? Like it weird to explain. Like, you're a creative, Sherry, so you're the performer. So, like, you might be feel it praising God today in your mind. Let me all like, shh, thank you, Jesus. I love you. You might not feel like, yo. You know what I mean? But if people see you, people expect me, Sherry, I'm more. You know what I mean? So when he said that, he obsessed with fame, it's boiling my blood because, like, I ain't even famous, I know. And people don't know me. People don't know what I do. I went through trials, lockups, some different things to get on radio, a simple thing like radio.
So, Sluggy, the line obsessed with fame is my shortened version of that. So here's a longer version that maybe you would think, but I was an outsider. I was gifted, so my brain didn't work like other people. Like people, the boys in class used to be interested in football and sports and stuff like that. It wasn't me, so I didn't connect with people. And then, because for me, at first, when I started out in class, I was that student that anytime teacher asks a question, first person raise a hand. And that led to the students in class, every time they opened my mouth, told me shut up. Like I didn't have nobody to talk to, I didn't have no friends. And so, I look at what's the opposite of this? And for me, that was Rihanna, because nobody tells Rihanna to shut up. And it's like, the fact that Rihanna been here, walked the same streets as I said that I can do this. So it's like, I want what Rihanna has because I want the opposite of this. I want it to be recognized. And then that led to me obsessing about Rihanna, other people like that, and sit down and learn. So like,
Rihanna? there's what you're saying, right? Like, and people know you love Rihanna too, right? But there's where I had this conversation on Midweek Mindset 95.3, right? And I'd be glad, thankful for persons like my boss, Aki Daily, you know, a new program that can get rolled out, National Peace Program, big up Minister Corey Lane. But you see, when you say that, like, person for you is Rihanna, they always want me to do Miss Mon and Doc and Ollie, right? I want me to take positive people. I met the popular. Because you see these popular people that people looking at for positive role models, them in a boy to be like, though. You know what I mean? Not in a boy that can say, well, mommy just shot a man down, you know what I mean? I put a trigger to his head and all these kind of things. Like, them in the people that like, don't get me wrong, people know you love Rihanna, but I won't say that she's no. She ain't a boy, look at her. Like, that's being honest, you know what I mean? That's being honest. Like, she's a national hero, yeah, because what she do is historic. Mm-hmm. She's one of the most successful female artists in history. So the fact that it's in history and she's a Bajan, like, you know, she's one of the greatest female artists ever. Like, for me, that's historic. So for that sake. But then when, so if person say want to achieve that level of success, but here when people want me like these people.
What I think I'm hearing him saying is he wants acceptance, I think.
Mm-hmm. That is
that's how it started. Yeah. And then so when to explain all of that, it's so much easier to just say I'm obsessed with fame than sit down and go and explain that to everybody. So that is the reason. So but it started as an obsession with fame, and now after Bish, the world where I can at least say that I have achieved, I won't say fame, but I have achieved notoriety. Yeah, so it's like I realized that wasn't actually what I wanted. Mm-hmm. I just wanted, I say, accepted. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be recognized.
That's what we want. Your dad way is. Mm-hmm. I know that way is, brother.
But I tell you what, Sluggy, we are out of time, my brother. So you're going to get some closing comments from your guests.
That easy. Mm-hmm. What time is? Yeah, big up. My phone here going crazy. Bajan, Rhythm and Rhyme is 7:52. And our show, Ollie, 6:30, 7:30. I love you, my brother. You know, the conversation good. You don't want to start, but Dr. Dawn Marie, it was an absolute pleasure. And you know me, love having these conversations. Mm-hmm. And you know, I'd be thankful when you all could just answer my questions. Got a lot of questions because there's no people is don't get the opportunity. Like you keep talking about opportunity today. Persons will live and die and never get opportunity to answer these questions they can ask on a scale like this. To persons like yourself, you know what I mean, for some people to hear. So I'd be so happy for the opportunity to ask them so that other people could hear, other people could learn. Mm-hmm. So I really appreciate you coming through, Doc. And I hope that we can have lots more conversations. And I really hope persons listen to you, explain stuff very well. I love when we were listening to Sherry Ann's song, I Talk, and then you broke it down and then you explained to us how you see love, the L-O-V-E-N-D. I love what you mentioned about observation. I love what you mentioned about being valued. Mm-hmm. I love what you mentioned about listening. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, and these things are so important. Miss Marnie, I feel
so good that we can. And I know this feeling for you gotta be so, it gotta be unexplainable when persons can listen to music of yours and deduce a whole show and break down so many positive things about it and seek so many solutions, and it sparks so many great conversations. Mm-hmm. And this stems off of your music. That gotta be a feeling that you can't really explain, you know what I mean? Like, there's things that people just live for, you know what I mean? So for me, I'm extremely happy for you. Oh, that we could talk much, much more. Any persons want to want to say goodbye to, or too much names to call you, I'm getting the boy vexed and jealous. You dog? You miss more?
I say hi to my husband, Chris, and my kids.
You're better.
Hi, Jake, if he's listening. But yes, and my family.
Yes. Yes, Lou. Yeah. You know he love you, young man. Yeah. You know he love you, son. Keep your head up, keep positive, and you know Uncle Sluggy got you. Ollie.
Yeah, Sluggy, just quick thing. You could go on my social media, Instagram, Twitter, Lou the Bajan, for more information. But I'm walking from Imo for Cave to Maxwell Christ Church along the coast, so that'll be about 40 kilometers. That's this Tuesday.
Listen, I can start for the road and show some real life for one. Ollie, on a serious note, bro, I appreciate everything you do, and you know he's always giving me extra time. He's always encouraged me. You know, I don't take nothing for granted, and they can keep making you proud, my brother.
Bajan Rhythm and Rhyme every Saturday on Voice of Barbados.